This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
Hello and welcome to the Esports Biz Show. I'm your host, Justin Jacobson. This week we will be discussing esports apparel licensing. Just as a disclaimer, nothing here is intended as legal advice. So all of the information is for educational purposes only. This week's guest is Zach Sass. Zach is the founder of Sector 6 Apparel. Sector 6 Apparel is an esports brand apparel company specializing in team wear and custom jerseys. He's also the founder of Black Box, as well as the host of the Esports After Hours podcast. He has previously worked as the operations manager for Infinite Esports merchandise arm with the former Optic Gaming owners. Zach, thanks for joining us.
Wow, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk merch and apparel and, you know, everything.
Yeah, so, you know, to briefly introduce the topic, we're exploring esports apparel licensing. So we're talking about, you know, the licensing of IP, intellectual property, which is, you know, the copyrights and trademarks. So a license is a right to do something. So in this instance, it's a license to kind of make merchandise based on existing IP, such as a logo or a team name. The licensor is the party who's issuing the license to another who's the licensee. So in esports, this can be a licensing of a team name or logo or gamer tag or streamer name to create any officially licensed item. So realistically, you know, the license is to make a derivative work based on an existing protected work. So, you know, a unique product design featuring a team's colors. So in this realm, you kind of have clothing, jerseys, hats, t-shirts, you know, hoodies, beanies, really anything you can put a team logo or gamer name on. Then apparel and tech and gaming peripherals. So, you know, sunglasses, watches, controllers, keycaps, headsets, anything kind of featuring a team logo or name. And then all the memorabilia stuff, stickers, posters, mugs, flags, socks, you know, again, anything you can slap a name or logo on. And then you kind of have these really unique one-off capsule collections. You know, so you have a Supreme Cloud 9 collaboration and these officially licensed deals where, you know, Nike's making all the NFL jerseys and such. So the license fees associated with these kind of agreements vary substantially. You know, a few of the factors you look at are kind of the length of the agreement, the license. Is it a couple years? Is it a couple months? And then what is actually licensed? You know, licensing a more valuable tier one logo or like the Rolling Stones logo might be more expensive than, you know, an upcoming streamer's rights. And then you kind of have the territories that are, you have the rights to, which are the different countries, geographic areas, whether it's just US or North America or the entire world. And, you know, these fees kind of vary substantially. It could be, you know, just a flat one-time fee that's paid for the license, or it could be a flat fee that has a royalty or residual payment that you kind of have to pay a certain percentage on each sale of the item. Or it just might be a straight royalty with no upfront fee, where you get 20% of all the sales of your team branded product. So, you know, two important concepts, you know, to look at it for licensing agreements are what's called, you know, the sell-off period, which essentially lets the licensee, the party making the item, sell off any remaining inventory that they have even after the term ends. So, you know, you get toward the end of an agreement and you have a bunch of Optic Gaming mouse pads left. So instead of having to destroy them and not sell them, you're able to, you know, have this sell-off period to sell off what you have, the remaining inventory, and you can't create any more. And, you know, there's also kind of balances to these kind of clauses that are called, you know, anti-stockpiling provisions that are essentially meant to prevent the licensee from ordering, you know, a ton of product at the end of the agreement. So, you know, if you're ordering 1,000 headsets a month, and now you want to order 10,000, that might be stockpiling, and you know, you might do it just because you want to flood the market at the end. And you know, these are some checks and balances that might be in these agreements. So now that we know a bit more about apparel licensing, Zach, tell us a bit more about your past esports experience.
Yeah, so I mean, the vast majority of my esports experience has been, you know, mostly around Sector 6 and, you know, I guess building that brand and servicing different teams and organizations and brands and just entities in the esports and gaming space. You know, that varies. Obviously, you covered what apparel or, you know, licensing looks like for esports and gaming. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of different opportunities there, whether that's, like you were saying, anything from jerseys, hats, t-shirts, hoodies, beanies, yoga pants, et cetera. There's like a plethora of products we could do there. You know, but I guess as far as my experience in the space, it's been, you know, mostly focusing on figuring out how to best service teams and organizations within the esports industry from an apparel side of things. And then, you know, how to work with them to best sell that product and, you know, I guess elevate the service that we provide to those teams.
So tell us a little bit more about Sector 6. You know, why'd you create it and, you know, what are you doing with it?
Yeah, I mean, so to be totally honest with you, I really wish I had a more, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess flavorful story here about why I started it. But it was one of those things where just kind of an opportunity presented itself. So back in 2013, 2014, I was very into graphic design. I was teaching myself how to, you know, use Photoshop and Illustrator and like the basics. And at one point I started to dabble a little bit in jersey design because it was something I thought was interesting. One thing led to another, and I made a connection who was interested in starting a company and bringing me on basically as the in-house designer. One conversation led to another, and we jointly started at the time what was called Esports Apparel. You know, obviously, since then, we've rebranded the company to Sector 6. A lot of things have changed between then and now. But, you know, to be totally honest with you, like it did come off like we started it kind of on a, or I got involved with it entirely on a whim. But I've always been very interested in starting a business or running a business. Sector 6 / Esports Apparel was the first business that I, you know, self ran or like got involved with entirely on my own. Prior to that, I just had whatever jobs I could like find, whether it was in high school or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it started. You know, one thing led to another. We started off kind of as a hobby. Again, like I was saying, I had a full-time job prior to that. I was working for Target, the retailer. And I, you know, would come home in my free time. We would have conversations about how we could do this, this, and this. And in the beginning, we just offered jerseys. You know, it was very, very, this is our box. If you want to work with us, you have to fit this box. So we would have minimum orders of like 6 jerseys or whatever. We wouldn't really sell anything online to service the teams. But obviously as time went on, we looked to revisit what that looked like for, you know, the masses. Obviously there are teams that are going to sell or need 6 to 12 jerseys on a regular basis, but there are a lot of teams that just need 1 or 2, you know, look at the fighting game community or like the Madden community or things like that, where you're just sending one player to an event or 2 players to an event, depending on the game and the, you know, the team. So like I was saying, obviously things expanded from there, but you know, in the beginning, it was very much just a hobby. It was just something we kind of, you know, wanted to just do together to build some relationships in the industry and see where it took us. And obviously, 6 years later, it's now my, you know, full-time focus.
So what makes Sector 6 unique? What are you guys doing over there?
So as far as what makes us unique, you know, I guess there's a lot of different ways you could look at apparel and merchandise in the esports community. So with Sector 6 specifically, what we focus on is to be a print-on-demand solution. Like we try to advertise ourselves as the turnkey print-on-demand solution for merchandise and apparel, specifically apparel
and
wear. So basically, a print-on-demand solution is anything that you could print a one-off of. So we don't have everything we forwardly advertise. We don't have a minimum quantity that you have to hit to order. So like I was saying before, back in the day, we would only take orders of 6+ jerseys. Since then, we've positioned ourselves to be to focus strictly on things that we could produce one of. Obviously, we could produce in bulk too. But what we saw as time went on was, you know, when you're
when you're kind of pigeonholing people to purchase six pieces, if they don't need six, what are they going to purchase the extra three for, or whatever the case is? So when we were able to start making, you know, a reasonable margin on just printing one and not taking like a major fee for only producing one piece, and we were able to offer that, we saw, a larger influx of teams that were, you know, either on the just getting started side of things or like middle of the pack, kind of trying to advance their, you know, stance on the industry, or just people who just needed one and two jerseys at a time on a every other month basis, whatever the case is. And basically what we started to see is that we did a better job, the way our company was positioned, we did a better job servicing the masses on that small scale versus like servicing a large team that needed, you know, a couple hundred jerseys on a monthly basis or whatever the case is. So that's what I think kind of makes us, you know, a little bit more unique. You know, obviously there's different things like turnaround times for us. Our design work that we do kind of makes us pretty unique. We have our own kind of style. But I think the biggest thing is the fact that we provide a one-off solution for every product we advertise.
So essentially a team can come to you with, you know, a logo or their concept for a jersey, and you'll help them create one and actually print it.
Yeah, exactly. So the way the process will look is a team will come, you know, on our website, you know, they'll hit us up on some social media platform, a customer service channel, whatever it is. And basically we'll have the conversation about, you know, what are you looking for? What are you guys looking to do with this once it's designed? Are you looking to sell? Are you looking just to purchase internally? You know, we have that conversation. We figure out what's best going to suit them. So whether that's just a jersey or, you know, the full package of jersey, shirt, hat, hoodie, et cetera, you know, we figure that out. Then we figure out what that's going to cost on the design side of things. And then we'll work with, we'll figure out that price, like I was saying, and then we'll link them up with one of our designers, and the designer will work back and forth with them. And then, you know, the client or the potential partner or whoever we're working with in this situation will either send us over a full on brief of what they want with examples, say they like this jersey, they hate this jersey, you know, they want black as the main color scheme, a little bit of blue trim, whatever. Our team will go based off that. And then, you know, I guess they could provide us as much as they want as far as detail goes, or as little as they want. And then our team can kind of just take a shot in the dark type thing. But, you know, obviously the more info, the better. And then we go back and forth. We complete that design work. The client will approve it, and then we'll go from there. You know, and then they decide whether or not they want to sell it publicly or just house it internally. And then, you know, they just utilize us as a manufacturing warehouse, and we just print as needed. But that's kind of what the, and then obviously there's recurring business there. So if the client needs something this month, and then in 3 months they need another set of jerseys for another team, or, you know, roster changes and things like that. And then obviously if they want to sell on the website, they would push their fan base to it, their community, or whatever the case may be, to a storefront on our website. And that's, you know, in a nutshell, what a typical relationship will look like between a client and Sector 6. Obviously there's some more involved, relationships that we have, whether it's a little bit more hand holding or involvement or back and forth, or like, constructive or collective brainstorming on like what we could do to advance their current line. But, you know, I guess that's pretty much a standard breakdown of what it looks like.
So if they didn't have a logo, would you guys help them design one, or do you really have to come to you kind of with logo and colors?
So we don't do logo work just because, there's a lot of work that goes into logo work, both time from a time standpoint and like at the end of the day, monetarily. Our team is not suited to do logo work. Can we, you know, sometimes yes, but it's not something we forwardly advertise. You know, in the best case scenario, a team is going to come to us with a logo, just because, you know, our team is better suited to work with a pre-existing identity versus creating an identity. And that's just, I guess that's just the way the business is focused. So like, you know, we really strive on like enhancing your identity and putting your identity on a jersey, as opposed to creating one and then building something around it.
Okay, cool. So do you guys work with any, you know, professional gamers or streamers as well? Or is it merely teams and orgs?
Yeah. So, I mean, in the beginning, you know, back in the day, we strictly worked with competing esports teams. So that was it. It was like anybody going to mostly Call of Duty events. Obviously, things changed from there. You know, we I guess as our major focus is jerseys and basically sublimated performance gear, or we call it our onstage gear or our pro gear, you know, whatever terminology you want to use. The need for those types of products isn't exactly high for, call it a streamer or an individual. They're mostly looking for your, you know, like call it streetwear or casual wear, more your t-shirts, hoodies, hats. So while our core product doesn't necessarily cater to them or like entice that type of individual creator, we still service a ton of individual creators and streamers and you know, one-off players or whatever the case may be. You know, whether that's a t-shirt, hoodie, hat with their logo on it, or, you know, we create a capsule collection with them with a little bit more involved than just their logo. So I guess the short answer is yes, but at the same time, you know, it's a little bit different than working with like, I know you mentioned before, like a Supreme and Cloud9 kind of collaboration. So it's a little bit different to like what Supreme would do if they collaborated with somebody. And it's more of us being like a service provider for a content creator who's looking to sell their own merchandise.
Okay, so like, yeah, so if I'm, you know, a gamer or a streamer who has his own logo or to make like my own jersey so that you can wear what I'm wearing, they could come to you and, you know, you could help them print this stuff and sell it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great. So, I mean, I think that that's, you know, very, you know, unique and important because as someone who's worked in kind of the promotions and advertising side of, you know, the music and lifestyle industry world, people that can, you know, make t-shirts and hats and get your logo on things at a cost efficient and time, you know, sensitive manner is extremely important. And, you know, being in the esports world, there haven't, at least in my knowledge, been that many companies that seem to be able to be this kind of total turnkey operation where, yeah, you may come to me with a logo, but that doesn't mean you have any idea about the trims and where you want to place sponsors and their name and fonts to use. And, you know, it seems to me that you guys really help hold these team owners' hands so that they can do it properly and present the best jersey that represents them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not to say that we like by any means attempt to like pigeonhole team owners or anything like that into like a specific cut or style. Like, you know, at the end of the day, our first and most important focus is the satisfaction of the client or the customer purchasing a jersey as a fan or whatever the case is. So while we do have, you know, insight in the years of experience that we have designing and producing these products, we still do, you know, everything within our capabilities to make those people happy. So for example, if they want to go against trend or do something entirely different, we always will recommend something that has worked in the past or something that we have experience with. But, you know, like I was saying, if they want to go against trend, you know, as long as it makes sense for us to physically do it, we do those things too.
There's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all the UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. Looking for something else other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's word BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
So I know that you also host a very interesting podcast. So tell us a little bit more about that. You know, why'd you start it?
Yeah. So, what was it? So early last year, I want to say March or April, maybe earlier, I was invited to be on like my first podcast as a guest. His name is Clayton Taylor. He brought me on his podcast. I think it's called the Eyesight Podcast. So it was my first one. He interviewed me. I thought this was really cool. I like talking. I was always, you know, very afraid to be in front of a camera, and like act or create content or things like that. But when I was on my first, this podcast, I was like, I really enjoyed talking. Maybe this is something for me. So I, you know, started putting the pieces together in my head, figured out, you know, what, direction I'd like to take that, you know, what makes sense for me. Do I want to talk to like a self podcast where I'm just talking, or do I want to interview people, or do I want to have a co-host, or what does that look like? And something that's always, you know, piqued my interest the past 2-3 years at this point has been like the business side of esports. So what my podcast is it's right now it's a mix because I'm trying to broaden it a little bit, but originally started off as just a one-to-one conversation where I'm interviewing people within the esports industry, whether you're, you know, a streamer, a content creator, a lawyer, you know, a team owner, whatever the case is, if you work in a competing brand or whatever, you know, whatever you do in the esports space, my idea was to interview everybody and everybody to kind of shed some light on what goes on behind the scenes. You know, like everybody sees when 100 Thieves announces a new, what's it called, investor. But not everybody sees all the work that goes into things like that. So my idea was to have those conversations about the, you know, within the legality of it, within the, or to talk about a little bit more of like the nitty gritty that goes into all that work. So that's a concept there. Right now I'm looking to kind of broaden it a little bit to be a little bit more than just that. I've been doing a couple like group podcasts that are like digital panels is what the concept is, but that's not as fleshed out as what the original idea was. But that's kind of what it is. It's, you know, there's a focus on the business side of esports. It's very much interview based or around the horn conversations, just about the esports and gaming space in general.
Great. So how do you prepare for an episode?
To be totally honest with you, the first the first like four episodes I did, you know, I guess the first one, I overhyped myself too much. I put together this question list that I was asking. I interviewed my one of the designers for Sector 6, Mitchell, and I choked up isn't the right word, but I couldn't get into it. Like I couldn't figure out where to start. I was very nervous is probably the right word. So I over-prepared for that one, and like it felt very weird to me because I felt like I was following a script. And then ever since, I think the second one I did with Josh, the co-owner of Sector 6, after that one, I kind of started doing them more off the cuff. So I'd make like a standard topic list, like literally, you know, I don't remember the most recent one specifically, but if you're like an organization owner, it's like your team, what is the team about? We talk through the team, you know, your previous experiences, what is that? You know, any interesting topics that I know is going to come up or I want to bring up with that person, it's going to be quick, like one line notes. And that's pretty much what my preparation is. I really like the off the cuff conversations, because I feel it's a little bit more authentic. I don't really like to have a certain expectation, and that's just for me. I sometimes feel like I kind of sound, like I'm either rehearsing or it's like not staged, but you know what I'm getting at. It's like, I'm trying to keep it authentic, I guess. It's very off the cuff for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I definitely, someone who's kind of took a similar route as I was a guest on a bunch of them. And then I was like, okay, well, I think I could do this, you know? And then I started to do it and kind of develop how I've kind of approached it, where I've kind of, you know, researched them, found what I wanted to highlight, and, you know, the conversation flows, but, you know, I like kind of having this, okay, these are the kind of things I want to discuss. This is kind of how it makes sense chronologically. And, you know, but if someone starts talking about something that you're thinking you'll talk about later, then you kind of shift in, you know, it's like it's like a morphing thing where it's like, this is the plan, but depending on how the conversation goes, you can start talking about something totally different.
Yeah. And I noticed, I guess, with my, like I was saying, with the first one that I did with Mitchell, I had a question list and, you know, we got to topic four before I covered two and I never circled back and I got like, I confused myself in the middle of the episode and I couldn't transition. So like, I guess one of the biggest things that I've taken away from this whole experience of like podcasting is the ability to steer a conversation and to bounce back from anything that I tie myself up with. So I'm, you know, if I redid that podcast, I wouldn't have the same issue. If like he did the exact same thing and I like had the experience and knowledge of like talking, I guess, that I do now, I would have done a little bit better. But obviously, you know, that comes with time. But yeah, like I guess for this podcast specifically, I really enjoyed having an idea of what you're going to talk through, the questions you're going to ask and all that. So definitely something that I'm going to consider going forward.
Yeah. You know, I think it's, you know, especially my own stance, I'm definitely not trying to be a gotcha journalist or try to surprise people with things. So especially more of the high profile people, they kind of want to know what you're going to be talking about. They want, mm-hmm. you know, I know when I'm on as a guest, I want to maybe prepare a couple notes just so I like can keep my focus on, you know, these are four things that I want to kind of talk about, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Someone like me who's been doing this for, you know, a decade, there's so much to talk about and I could talk about anything. I'm a lawyer, like I get paid to talk. So we can talk forever.
Yeah, I hear that.
So, you know, just to kind of, you know, bring everything together. I know that you have started this company Blackbox. So tell us what that is.
Yeah. So I guess I mean, at this point, there aren't really any secrets with what the company is. Publicly right now, it's a subscription-based creative agency. So basically what the idea is, if you're a esports team or an organization, or you're in the esports community in any, you know, facet, you would come to Black Box and you'd work with us on a, in most cases, the idea is like a 1 to 3 month term. But we have a 6 month term option as well. And I think a yearly one. But basically we provide you with unlimited graphic assets within, you know, a certain set of parameters. So like we wouldn't do unlimited logo work, for the retainer fee or the subscription fee. But things like that are pretty big in the esports space, like social media assets, you know, your Twitter headers, your YouTube banners, things like that, scorecards,
exactly.
That type of like static assets. Those are all the things that we'll provide on an unlimited capacity. You know, but I guess the caveat is that it works in a queue-based system. So if you come knocking on our door, you set up, you put in 100 requests on day one, our team will work through that in the order that it comes through. So, you know, we can't like reallocate everybody to work on one. It's all a queue-based system to keep it fair, I guess, is the best way to describe that. But past that, what Black Box originally, you know, that was kind of something that evolved during the curation of what Black Box is. But for me, I've always had a deeply rooted interest in like social media, and like the advancement of a brand via social media and like marketing in general. And I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, I had this idea that I wanted to start a social media agency, not specific to esports at the time. I was going to talk to local companies, restaurants, pizza places, whatever it was, like a lawyer's office, and I would just help get them involved in social media. The idea was I would go there, collect a paycheck, tweet on their Twitter accounts or whatever other social media accounts that there are, you know, and then, like I said, collect a paycheck and help build their presence. You know, one thing led to another. I built out what that company brand looked like, the name, the concepts, all that. And then it kind of went a little stagnant. We started focusing a little bit more on Sector 6. I moved out to Texas. You know, that kind of went on the back burner. Once we got settled here, I felt that I had a lot more time on my hands and I wanted to revisit that concept, but I wanted to bring it into esports because I felt a lot more passionate about the community than I did 3 years prior. So basically what Black Box is, the esports version of that, originally what the concept was, to bring it in and be a social media marketing agency. You know, obviously one thing led to another. We push right now forwardly, we push the creative side of things. And like that, like I was saying before, that unlimited graphic package. But here in the next couple of weeks, you know, we haven't fully fleshed out what the product offering is going to be. But, you know, end goal of what Black Box will be is like a, you know, an all-in-one solutions agency where, you know, somebody either starting a brand new organization, working to advance their current, you know, solution, but they don't want to bring on a marketing manager or whatever the case is, they would come to us and we would figure out what they need to advance their brand. And our team will figure out, you know, based on that input, what, you know, what we need to do to get them to the level that they're trying to get to. So,
I mean, I love it. I mean, now that you brought the whole picture together. So we have, you know, Sector 6 and Zach here who, if you have your team that's coming up, tier two, tier three, you know, someone's trying to start their brand and do it right, you get your jerseys, your hats, your hoodies, and you get your graphics done for your social media. You get all those good game, well-played logos. These are signing logos. You know, this is the time that we're streaming. And as someone who worked, you know, in-house with an esports organization for a couple months, I kind of saw the other side where it's like, okay, we're signing these new guys. We got to get the new headers and, you know, the announcement graphic. And a lot of it is really just changing names and making sure everything spells correctly. And it's very time sensitive and being able to come to someone who is like, okay, like the, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're playing. So at 2 p.m. on those days, you know, 20 minutes before the game, we want to tweet out this, you know, we're live in an hour. And then 5 minutes, you know, a minute before, we want to say we're going live now. And to have someone who can help create the graphics and manage the actual post going live, as well as creating your jerseys, and it just kind of really flows all together.
Yeah. So I guess the specificity around Black Box is it's very much there. Like there are a ton of marketing and media and creative agencies in the world, and then obviously specifically to esports, there are a ton of like your top tier talent that focuses on those things, you know, that are working with your team Liquids, either silently or publicly, those tier of organizations and brands. But where I like the concept behind Black Box was to position it in a similar position to that of Sector 6, as far as the potential clientele and, you know, who we, our ideal client is going to be. You know, we're not aiming to land a six-figure deal with your team Liquid. We're aiming to land, you know, a, you know, I guess a, depending on the services we provide, end goal is like a 3 to 5-figure deal. You know, whether it's a month to month contract or a year long contract, whatever it is. You know, that's kind of where our focus is. We want to lay, you know, a little bit lower, focus on helping build brands and build them up versus, you know, maintaining something that's already well established. So that's kind of where I think they'll, you know, I guess long term, hopefully they'll kind of complement each other a little bit. Obviously, they're two separate companies. But, you know, that's kind of where that mindset is on as far as, you know, who we're catering to.
Well, you know, I see it. If I was starting a team now and I needed to get jerseys and hats and hoodies and get my social media assets created, like that, this would be where I would go. And, you know, I think that as someone, like I said, who's been in the industry and help, you know, whether it's in-house on a team or I have clients that actually, you know, started their own teams and I've helped them with the paperwork, whether it's getting, you know, the contracts for their players and their coach, or actually, you know, helping them trademark the team name and copyright their logo and set up the LLC and corporation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where like they need people that can help them with, you know, the other stuff, the merchandising and making sure that everything looks on point, especially when this is such a digital space where like if you don't have an amazing digital presence and an active one, you're going to have a really hard time succeeding as an organization.
100%. Yeah. I'm a firm believer in like, something that somebody had said to me on a podcast a while back was you're only as relevant as the last thing you put, like out digitally, which I like, you're not going to become irrelevant if you don't do anything, like if you don't post to Twitter. But at the same time, like as far as what the community thinks about an organization, if somebody just kind of falls off the face of the planet and isn't posting anything anywhere, people are just going to think that they're dormant or they're gone or whatever. So somebody's a lot more like a person is naturally going to want to be a fan of, work with, work for, whatever the, you know, situation might be with a brand or organization that is, you know, active to an extent. Like obviously you don't want to be super spammy or anything like that, but you know, once or twice a day you want to be, you know, I guess catering to the people that are following you on social media accounts for whatever reason that they are. And then, you know, I think that's super valuable in the long term.
So what's the future of Sector 6? Where are you going from?
The future of Sector 6, like, so I guess like way back, like obviously our major future was to make this a full-time thing. Obviously it is what it is now. We have some, I guess, expansion plans. Right now we do all of our production in North America with the exception of like a few things. We're looking towards like a global expansion. That's probably our next major step. Candidly, it was something that we were working on prior to this whole, you know, COVID-19 mm-hmm. situation. So, you know, right now, I mean, I guess right now, the future of Sector 6 looks like let's get through what we're dealing with right now. And then past that, our biggest next goal is to focus on like global expansion. You know, there are definitely some other things that we have toyed with, but nothing that we're 100% set in stone on chasing, I guess, yet. But, you know, right now we want to continue to be a leading, you know, provider of merchandise and apparel in the esports industry, and continue to provide one-off solutions for the teams that are, you know, most interested in getting, you know, something of substance to sell or to have for their fans and their community.
Awesome. So, you know, I like to end each episode with, you know, my three questions. So what's your favorite game to watch?
Oh, it's funny, like if you would have asked me this question, and the answer I'm going to give you right now, if I would have like even thought that would be an answer like 3 years ago, I would have laughed at you. But right now, my favorite game to watch is definitely League of Legends. And I don't know what it is about it. I think it is like the chess factor of like, you know, what does Team X do when Team Y does this, and like how people react to that. But I think it's definitely League of Legends first, and then with a like second place closely with Counter-Strike. But you know, as so Valorant just came out. So as this becomes competitive, that may come up there a little bit more and compete with those two. But right now, definitely League and Counter-Strike.
Awesome. So, you know, what's your favorite games to play?
Lately, I've been playing a lot of Warzone and Rocket League, although I'm not very good at either. I used to be a lot better at video games than I am now. But, you know, I guess I
took real world hits and you have to stop playing video games all day.
That's exactly that. And like working in the esports space, you just have, I don't want to say like I have less of an interest in playing video games, but like there are definitely times where I'm around, you know, League of Legends or Call of Duty so much. The last thing I want to do is turn on Call of Duty. Or on the flip side, like I'm sitting in front of my setup, especially now, working for so long, the last thing I want to do is like finish up work and then turn a game on because I'm like sitting down. I need to go do something. But you know, here lately, I guess with the working from home situation, I have been playing a little bit more. So lately it's been a lot of Rocket League and like Warzone. Still waiting on that Valorant key though.
Awesome. So now who's your favorite, you know, video game character? Mario, Luigi, Pikachu?
I
give the brain busters at the end.
Dude, yeah, these are the hardest questions. that's tough, man. This one, so I don't consider myself like an old gamer, but I definitely played a lot of the older games. So I don't know what your audience skews age-wise, but like one of my all-time favorites is probably in between like Spyro. if you ever played Spyro the Dragon, because that game just, you know, always kind of resonated with me. I guess the collective of Ratchet and Clank. You know, those are my two favorite games as a kid. So probably one of them would be my favorite all time video game characters.
Okay, you know, our audience is kind of all over the place. So
yeah,
we have old school guys and people that are, you know, fresh out the pen. So we kind of have people that love Fortnite and actually love, you know, those old games.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, thank you so much for joining us. This was, you know, very insightful. So where can everyone find you?
Yeah, on social media, all of my handles are just my first, I guess, my nickname, I guess, and last name. It's just Z-A-C-K-S-A-S-S, and that I'm pretty sure is every social media handle that I'm on has that handle. So you can get me there. And I'd love to talk, whether it's apparel or esports in general. I like to talk to new people. So I like to make myself as reachable as possible. So if anybody ever wanted to reach out and chat, you could get me there.
And check out Sector 6 Apparel. They got some really cool, you know, team logos and merch. So if you're looking for a cool team, especially in these months that you're trying to follow and learn a bit more about the scene, you know, you might just find something that piques your interest.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, thanks everybody again for tuning in. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, JustinJESQ. That's JustinJESQ. Check Apple Podcasts for all our past episodes.